If you have your Bible, turn with me to Amos chapter 4, Amos chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." At the time that Amos, the prophet of God, prophesied, both Israel and Judah stood high in prosperity and wealth. Israel secure from outward enemies and strong in inward resources were very far from expecting ruin and destruction. Now God had dealt with them, and they were not listening to what God had to say. God was concerned about the lethargy and the unconcern of his people, Israel, but they didn't respond. They did not listen. The northern kingdom of Israel was guilty of calf worship, and it was to Bethel, the central seat of this idolatry, that God sent his prophet Amos. Now it tells us in verse 8, God had punished Israel by withholding the rain, and yet he said, "Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And then in verse 9, God had punished Israel with blasting or plant disease, with mildew and locusts, and he said, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And then God had punished Israel with pestilence and with the sword in verse 10, and he said, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And then God had punished Israel by overthrowing some, as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 11, he said, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Now God comes to the last resort to which he is going to take. And he says, "Therefore, this will I do." And that course of action which God threatens here would be in point of severity and advance upon all that had previously been done. They had faced God's judgment, but they did not see his hand in them. They had faced God's prophets and they ignored what the man of God had to say. But now then, they must face God. And to the pious Jew, facing God was like facing death itself. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, God said, "No man can see my face and live." It must have been the embodiment of all terror to those that recognized that they had to face God. And I do want to remind you that we're not any different today. We're going to have to face God. I don't know when that time will come, but I'm here to tell you that it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It was from the presence of the Lord, you remember, in the book of Revelation, that the wicked cried out for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them to hide them from the face of him that sat on the throne. This was an ordeal they could not face. But I want to remind us today, and we start off a new year, I want to remind us that we're not ready to meet God in our natural state. Just like we are. You know, we are born in sin. We're conceived in iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So I think it's obvious, and all of us recognize this morning, that we're not ready to meet God until some change has taken place in our life. And we know that change is the radical change of conversion. You see, a man is dead in trespasses and sins. He was born that way. He inherited it from Adam and Eve. He is a sinner. He has a black heart that needs redemption. And God has provided for that redemption by sending his son in the fullness of time to die upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of all the world. I remind you this morning that when a person comes under the influence of the gospel, now this word of God is a living word. It touches our heart. It meets our needs. It points out our shortcomings and what we need to do in order to please God. It gives us instruction. Most of all, it tells us you must be born again. You must be born again. There's no decision. We cannot arbitrate. You must be born again. A man comes to the altar. He comes as a sinner, black-hearted. Sin is in control of his life. But he hears the gospel preached. He comes under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. He is drawn to repentance. He comes to the altar, bows his knee and his will to the will of God. And he invites Christ to come into his life and forgive him of his sins, cleanse him of all unrighteousness. Amen. He takes him as personal Savior and Lord of his life. He gets up from that altar, a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. His name is recorded down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he knows that when I die, that I've got a home prepared for me in heaven. Now, there's a difference between us and God. He is perfect. He is sinless. He is holy. He is altogether righteous. But we are sinners. We live in sin. We walk in sin. We talk in sin. We are sinners. Surely such vile creatures as us can never come into the presence of a holy God until something is done within our life in order to get us to where we can come into his presence. You know, one of these days, this old world is going to come to a screeching halt and it'll be rolled up like a scroll. And we're going to go out and meet God, the one who made us, the one who breathed into our life the breath of life, and we became a living soul. We're going to go out to meet the one that has the power of life and death eternally in his hands. And we're going to account for the life that we've lived down here. I want to encourage you that if you haven't already made that change in your life, make it today. I don't know of a better time than on the first Sunday of the new year, 2020, a new decade. Turn it around for God and let your life be what God wants it to be. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We must be prepared in order to go there. And then we must meet God in this life. God has certain unchangeable laws that if we violate these laws, we will come face to face with the judgment of Almighty God. For the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A man might say that I'm going to live as I please, and it's nobody's business but mine how I live. But he does not realize that there's a consequence to that lifestyle that alienates himself from God. I'm reminded a number of years ago when I was at the Kavanaugh Church in Fort Smith, I had a young man that graduated from Hillsdale College, Christian College. And he was talented in music. He could play the piano. He could lead music. He could sing. He was a talented young man. And if I said his name, some of you would know him. He was our music minister for a while there at the church. And then he left and he went down into the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I got word that things were not going well for him, that he got in with the wrong group and he became one that practiced the homosexual lifestyle. Well, years rolled by, and one day I got a telephone call. They said that he was in the hospital at Sparks and wanted me to go see him. I thought surely he wanted to give his life to the Lord. He wanted to turn his life around because he was dying of AIDS. I went to the hospital room, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was cold. I could feel the air of wickedness in that room. And he didn't want me there to give his life to the Lord. He wanted me there to brag about the lifestyle that he'd been living. And when he got out of the hospital, he said, "We're going to have a party like you can't believe." Well, I always have prayer, but I didn't have prayer because I knew the devil was in that room. And I knew that he had probably reached a state of being a reprobate and an apostate from the cause of Christ. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If we sow to the wind, we'll reap the whirlwind. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap the results of that lifestyle. The Bible gives us a good example of Joseph and his brothers in the Bible. It talks about how he was mistreated and he was sold into slavery. 22 long years go by. He had been in prison. He had a hard life for 22 years. But in God's providence, God placed him there for the time when he was needed for the salvation of his family and the nation of Israel. He was raised up to be second in command in Egypt, and he was put over the treasury. He had prophesied or read the prophecy, he interpreted it for them that they'd have 7 good years, fat years, and then 7 lean years. And so he stockpiled all the food. And the nation of Israel, or Jacob and the family, needed food. So they came into Egypt not knowing that it was their brother Joseph that they would have to face. And when they came in order to buy grain, they were faced with problems and troubles. And one of them said very plainly, "I know why all of this trouble has come upon us. We mistreated our brother Joseph, and now we must meet our sin again. God is paying off." You can't run from your sin. You see, the Bible tells us that sin is like blood to the bloodhound. And that bloodhound will track you down. Your sin will track you down. And you'll have to account one day for that which you have done. Then we must meet God in life's responsibility. Moreover, it is required in stewards, it says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward is one that manages the estate of another. All of us are stewards. You know what? You don't own anything. Everything you got is given to you, lent to you by God. And one of these days, and you know how you know that? When you die, there's not going to be a Brinks truck following behind your hearse. You see, when you die, you leave it all behind. So the important thing is to make preparation to meet God in this life. You have a great responsibility as parents. Rear up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Brethren, no person here wants their children to go to hell. Nobody does. You know, you'd do anything in the world to make sure that your child went to heaven. But then sometimes we neglect the simple things of just being faithful to church in the house of God. Doing what God wants us to do. Set the example for our family. Lead them in the paths of righteousness. Spend time with them in the Word of God. And then to be a consecrated Christian, you know, it's so important that we live our life in front of others. You know, you can tell folks all day long, need to go to church, need to live for the Lord, but they're looking at your life. They're looking at you. And if they don't see that it's real in your life, it won't be anything for them to listen to what you have to say. Live your life as a Christian. In 2020, we have a new year, a new beginning, a new start. Grab hold and live for the Lord every day. Be faithful to Him, and God will bless you. We read the church sign that says, what kind of a church would this church be if every member were just like me? What kind of a church would it be? Well, you need to answer that in your own heart. And then we must meet God in death. 100 years from now, all of us are going to be gone. It won't be 100, have to be 100 for a lot of us. Kind of reminds me of Aesop's fable, where the master sent his servant out into the marketplace in order to buy food. He went from this vendor to another and to another, and he felt like somebody was staring at him. He felt a cold chill on the back of his neck. And finally he turned around, and when he did, he saw death there. And it appeared that death gestured for him to come. And he dropped all of his groceries and he ran back to the master and he said, I saw death out in the marketplace. He invited me, he wanted me to come to him. And I dropped the groceries and I ran here to get away from death. Give me your fastest horse, and I'll ride to Baghdad and get away from him tonight. And so the master gave him his fastest Arabian horse. He got on it. He rode as fast as he could in order to get to Baghdad. Well, the master was disturbed about death scaring his servant. So he went out into the marketplace, and finally he found death. And he came up and he was going to chide death. He said, Death, why did you scare my servant so? Why did you gesture for him to come? He said, oh, I didn't gesture for him to come. I was just so surprised to see him here because I've got an appointment with him in Baghdad tonight. You see, you can't run away from death. Many a man has gone to church, been convicted by the Spirit of God of his sins, said, someday I'm going to do something about it. Have you ever been in that spot? Sure you have. We all have. One of these days, I'm going to turn my life around with God's help. One of these days. And you put it off and you put it off. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Don't put it off. But when the Spirit of God deals with your heart and you feel that tug to come, you want to get saved, that's the time to come. Because I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will not always deal with you. And then we're going to meet God in judgment. The Scripture tells us, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In other words, when you die, you don't pass out of existence. You just lay down this robe of flesh and the soul goes to God who gave it. And so we're going to live on For the soul of a man will never die. We're going to live on in eternity somewhere. And so we need to make preparation for that which we cannot avoid, and that's eternity. The soul of a man will never die. And if we have Jesus in our heart and life and we get to go to heaven and live in the mansions he's prepared for us, have a new body that won't hurt anymore. Wouldn't that be nice to have a new body that you could just don't have to worry about being sick anymore, don't have to worry about going to the hospital, don't have to worry about death or a cemetery or anything like that. And to just know that all of God's children that are there, that there'll be a great reunion one day. We all look forward to that. But you've got to be saved in order to go to heaven. And if you're not saved this morning, the good news is you can get saved today, this morning, right now. If you'll just come to Jesus, he'll meet you here and you can give your life to him. And you can start off 2020, a new decade, a new year, as a child of the King, knowing your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pray with us.